Bye-bye.
So many thoughts is running around these days. Looking like you better look both ways. People come and people go. Can't love your highs and then feel your lows.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Welcome. And I am Sharon, and this is Iambic Poetry Podcast. Woo! I got a guest for you. It is the hip-hop princess, the powerful spellcaster, the word wizard leader herself. I give you Moon Magic! Woo! What up, Moon?
Hello, hello, Sharon. Thank you so much for that kind introduction.
Most definitely.
And thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you. But you and me go back for a while, you know, it's been a couple of years and stuff, and we've done shows, and we've also done a lot of things. But I wanted you on the show because for this base, I got a whole theme right now of powerful female rappers that I got. I got you. Not only I got you, I also got J. Ross Perelli coming on.
Yeah.
I also got a Misconception. I got also, you know me, you know Minnie. She's going to be on there too.
But you got to plug me in. Yeah.
But you and me are close. So I want to meet you first. I want you to tell me a little bit about yourself. I know you and me are from Moreno Valley. So
yeah.
We start off from there. And then
Mo Val.
You call Mo Val.
No, I know. I feel bad sometimes because I'd be like kind of dissing Mo Val. Shout out to Mo Val. I have so much love for Mo Val and like a certain type of people, you know, that come from Mo Val. That certain, you know, because it's a special place. It's a desert, but it's a poor community. It's a very diverse community. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, you know, very heavily influenced by LA.
Right.
Because a lot of the people who move out to Mo Val, I feel like come usually from that area and can't afford that. The like price of an apartment you get for a house. So people are, you know, they want to have families, they want to be able to have a house, and they rather commute. And so I think it's just a very special town in that way. It has certain characteristics, you know, like every town does.
Right.
And so I love Mo Val. But you know, so I grew up in, I was actually was born in Riverside.
What part?
Stayed there. Honestly, dude, I can't really remember because I was really young. But I remember we had like this little fence around the yard, and there's just a lot of things that ended up happening on that street.
Oh, okay.
With like a neighbor, they had a gun and they killed themselves. Like a little boy was playing with it. And then they had another house that got like broken into, and there was just things going down, and it was just better to move out and be able to get a bigger home. Because Mo Val was founded in like the 80s or something.
Right.
So during this time, my house was the only one on the block, dude. It was like my house across the way was like these bean fields, literally. I remember as a little kid taking the mag light and being able to like run and hide in the white park, like things of the bean fields, you know? Or like the grass would be so high, we could just like lay down, you know? And then the other one had like another field on the other side. With the March Air Force Base, and then the other one and the corner gas station that you could walk to that was like a mile from my house. And then another, like almost a mile, I think it was less than a mile, like half a mile was like the school. So we would walk to school too.
What school?
And I was really, really young. And so I grew up in Mo Val, stayed there till I was about, basically when I went to college.
Okay.
You know, being in Mo Val, I didn't feel like I had a lot of opportunity. You know that there is a lot of opportunity in that city, and you know, being from there, you kind of know it's not, you know, I feel like most people who live there either commute to work,
yeah,
or there are people who just live within the city. You know, people say you don't go to Mo Val, you get stuck there, and I feel like I'm talking shit on Mo Val. Like I love it, but I always felt that, like, it's a feeling, like even when I've taken other people I know from like college times or even from now in Sacramento and they've been to Mo Val, they'll be like, whoa, like this is like depressing city. Like there's a no, like there's a feeling of like we're just stuck here, that people that's like, you know, and it's not like, you know, places where you could find a lot of arts and culture that like comes from that feeling. I feel like there's a lot of that feeling and not as many places as bigger cities to put that or to gear that, you know? Right. So growing up, like, I was always really into after school type of programs of any sort, just so I wouldn't, so whether that be like soccer, I did that a lot. There wasn't a lot of like creative arts programs too much in my middle school, high school time. But once I got to high school, there was, but middle school, no. But when I was younger, there was like this choir, you could do a band. It was one of those nice Title IX schools. So they had some really good programming around it. That's what really got me into like all types of music. And then
did you go to Marina Valley High or what's
no, I went to Rancho Verde High School.
Oh, okay. That was one of our competitors. We fought, we basketballed them a little bit. So yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we had a really blessed performing arts program there.
Right.
And I was always like at this time, so in sixth grade when I first started getting into poetry, first started getting into writing music, I had my own little rhyme books, like lyric books. Mm-hmm. My first band was called the Shooting Stars, which is hella funny. Nice. Moon Magic, Shooting Stars, like what the
It works.
That's like a coincidence for sure, but not a coincidence. But anyways, the first song I wrote over was called Selena's Dreaming of You.
Mm.
Have you heard that? Now I'm dreaming of you tonight.
I've heard that part. Okay.
So, you know, I was kind of, but that theater program in high school, that was the first time I really, like, there was a place for any of that types of stuff that was done by programming.
Okay.
And so that was really cool to be part of. But I went away to school when I was 18. And at that time, I was kind of deciding on whether to like continue doing, you know, the art, music, you know, that kind of stuff. My best friend at the time was going to a performing arts school to like do that.
Okay.
And I also like didn't learn about financial aid till honestly like my junior year of high school.
Oh.
I didn't know I could go to college. So when I found out about it, it was like, to me, it was my ticket to get the fuck out.
Yep.
Like, no lie. Like, I was like, I'm not going to fuck. I mean, that's why I say I feel bad, but I'm not going to die in this city. Like, this is not, and there was this feeling about it and I feel bad, but that is what it is. And that's the truth is like, you know, and I hope that, you know, there's things that as time goes, because the city is newer, that I see now how they've cultivated some of those things that weren't there when I was younger, you know?
So what university did you go to?
I went to Cal Poly Pomona, which is Pomona.
Yeah.
And that was honestly because I was kind of like, well, the only two closest colleges that were Cal States, because I didn't want to apply to the UC system. I didn't want to have to do. I should have. Honestly, when looking back on it, I had pretty good grades because grades, like school was my thing. Like I didn't have a good home environment. I didn't really fit in with my peers too much, but school, like teachers, you know, I liked after school programs. I really liked learning. I was kind of nerdy in that way. So honestly, I could have gone to a UC school, but I didn't want to write and do the work of the application. I was like, what is this shit? And, you know, I was the first one to go straight to university after college. So nice. A lot of that kind of stuff was very new and I didn't really understand. Like, I kind of look back and I'm like, how the fuck did that happen? But, you know, there's a lot of things I learned at Cal Poly that also were very important to my journey. So I'm really glad that everything happened the way that it did.
Right.
But basically, yeah, I moved out of my house when I was 18, moved in with a boyfriend, was like living with my boyfriend and his mom and his other brother for like 3 months or so while I was doing this EOP summer bridge program into Cal Poly. And I was like commuting back and forth and like picking up everybody from the program. And it was just a wild time. That ended up like that situation was not healthy. You had some toxic things going on and, you know, I had to leave. And then I moved into the dorm with like three other summer bridgers who were living there. And, you know, I was just kind of crashing there for the summer and that type of thing. And then we finally decided to land on a two-bedroom apartment with, like, six Summer Bridge EOP students in this apartment. Like, homeboy Jose lived in the living room, and then there was three girls in the master bedroom and two girls in the small bedroom. And that was the craziest fucking year. That was my eighth, when I was 18, my first year in college. And woo, by the end of the year, yeah, it was just a very tough time to be. But we made it work, you know? So shout out to them. Much love to them. And that was that being in Pomona, being surrounded in LA County and just like the hip hop scene there is really what just like took over my journey.
You're very much entrenched in the hip hop scene down south and in South California stuff.
Yeah.
Before you came up here. So there's a question. So do you see, before you moved up, when you moved up here and stuff, did you get a little bit of a culture shock? Basically, yeah. Southern California and Northern California?
You know, it's funny because I feel like a lot of people, and you know, a part of it, okay, maybe, they say SoCal people are like superficial, you know? You know, and to a certain degree, I get it, like Hollywood, you know, people, you know, there's a certain different, maybe to that, to the maybe, okay, maybe, but I also feel likewise with like, you know, just gang culture down there and the way that the environment is down there, like you don't talk to people you don't know. That's just a more like a safety thing, I feel like, or just a part of like, you know, that's how I always was felt. So like when I came to NorCal, I feel like that's a big difference, which is nice. Like people are much more, and that's definitely has its own like things that I appreciate as well. It's a different type of feel, more laid back culture in that terms of like relaxed, you know,
right.
More hippie, quote unquote. You know, that's LA is grimy. You know, I love grimy though. I love both. I love both. I love both NorCal and SoCal, and I've definitely found a home here in Sacramento in a lot of ways.
There you go.
And I'm just a Cali baby, like through and through. I love every part of it, the deserts, the ocean, you know, LA from all the way up to, you know, Bodega Bay. Like California is a beautiful fucking state and I'm blessed to have been born here.
So you, did you move up here in 2016 or did you?
Yeah, I moved up here. So telling you, I just, my college time and experience was a lot of learning and, you know, I didn't really know. I think a lot of it was, college was a culture shock. That for me was, you know, MoVal was like 5% white at my high school. And then the college was 30% white. And it was one of the most diverse colleges in the world, I think. Like that was one of our statistics, as Cal Poly was known for that. But even then, that was the most I had been surrounded by other people who looked like me, and that experience within itself was a culture shock. And just like, and more than just that, the things that you learn, like I was a multicultural studies major. I was learning a lot of these academic words for things I couldn't necessarily explain before.
Okay.
And so that time in particular itself was a growing period. And so, you know, both of those things were very, very important. I just wanted to note that.
So you moved from, so when you graduated, graduated 2015, 2016?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When was the point of saying, I'm not going back to Moreno Valley? I'm going all the way up to, you had a job or what brought you up to Sacramento?
So what brought me up to Sacramento, that was this program called Teach for America.
Yes.
And so, you know, like I was, so college, like I said, was a very time that I was kind of just trying to figure out a lot of things about myself. And so by the end of it, you know, I think a lot of people feel that by the end of college, you're going to like figure something out and have come out this person with, and I don't think that's, you know, you're not going to come out this person who just knows and you're now an adult and you have a job and now you're in the real world. I don't think it works like that for everybody. And I had this, I think that whole experience really brainwashes you to believe that. And, you know, I definitely was thought after college, I was going to have it all figured out. You know, I went to college specifically and didn't pursue the arts because I wanted to have something to prove that, because growing up in poverty and in that condition of stuff, I wanted to be able to come out and be like, I'm now successful and adult and, you know, I made it, whatever the heck that means. And really going through the college process, I learned that that wasn't real. But at the time, I found out about Teach for America. And honestly, there were so many things transforming at that time in my life. I knew that there was something within teaching that I would learn a lot from. I knew teachers had always been some of the greatest inspirations in my life, the greatest models in my life. You know, being from the community that I was in, my teachers paid for my graduation package. You know, my teachers, you know, sponsored me for a lot of these programs that my parents couldn't afford, and I really appreciate them for. And then my teachers offered space, you know, just being able to be there in recess and like write in my notebook and be the weird, nerdy, loner kid that I was. And they didn't need to say anything. It was just letting me do that, you know, like right. Teachers are amazing people. And I wanted to just take that opportunity to see, you know, it had presented itself. I applied for it and I got it. And I'm really, really glad that I took the opportunity. And that brought me to Sacramento because this was my placement.
Okay.
So I was a teacher for 3 years and then I just kind of stayed after because of, you know, that part of what that brought into my life. And the Sacramento community has brought into my life specifically in the individuals here and the artists here.
Oh, okay. Because when I first got introduced to you was at Rhythm and Poetry introduction, mm-hmm. basically. Shout outs to Graffiti Blue for being the first one to introduce you out and stuff. And then from there, you went to Keynote. And then from there, it's like you just start, and then you start going to other poetry specs and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, this is a new person. No. Because first when they first introduced you to,
I was really coming out of my shell. And yes. That was a process within itself. And I think it's still a process. That's what this Quarantine Butterfly series is really all about, is about the process of, you know, when you are somebody who, you know, this is the process of PTSD and what that does to somebody. And that's at all different levels of what people go through. But being able to come out of that experience as a transformed person, you know, and being able to go back to the cores of who you are, which has been taken from you. And being able to own those things that you have been shamed to feel. And that's a very powerful process and a very, you know, I don't think there's any right way or wrong way to do that. And so for me, this, my experience with art was like me shedding all of that and me each process, whether it was writing a poem, you know, transforming the poems into raps, you know, was this me taking back each of these things that have been taken from me and shedding these layers that hindered me from the truth of who I was. And that has been a powerful transformative process still happening. And, you know, I'm just very, very grateful for everything that it has taught me more than anything. And that I have been able to learn about myself, about others, and, you know, just how to be a better person overall, you know?
Right. So, here's a burning question I've been trying to ask. Are you the leader of Word Wizards or the founder of it?
So Word Wizards is an idea more than anything. It's the idea that we are all wizards with our words. Our words are extremely powerful. And that's one of the things I love the most about hip hop and MCing in particular. Is the power of the MC, the master of the ceremony. Their words are so powerful. And I think they're tools that we can use to heal ourselves, to uplift one another, but we also can use it to harm people and harm ourselves. And I think about this myself and how much do we even use it to harm our own selves, right? With the negative things we think about. And so it's just about this idea of us owning that power. And collectively coming together and uniting and recognizing that we all, you know, that we all can heal and have powerful truths regardless of our identities, and working to unify and, you know, create that dialogue that allows for that to happen, which, you know, when I started the idea and even now, like, I don't altogether know what that means. But it's this mission to look for that meaning and to, have that intention at the heart of what you're doing as much as we possibly can as human beings. And so it's, you know, been a project that I learn and grow and cultivate and exchange with other people, and use art as this mode of healing and transformation. And so when I use that name, it's whenever, you know, we're working in these collaborative groups. I don't necessarily call myself the leader of it, but, you know, in all technical business terms, you know, I own it. which I found out on its own journey that how important that is to all artists out there who have a very amazing idea. You know, I kind of, when you come into it, you're like, oh, I'm just doing it for fun. You know, I love art. You know, this isn't, you're not really thinking about necessarily all the business aspects or people, you know, the trademarking and all that. So, you know, artists, you got dope shit out there. Just want to say, you know, trademark your shit. And look into that stuff and, you know, tap into the older, you know, OG artists who are doing it and ask them about it. And, you know, that's important. And so I learned that through the process. But it's more of a place for us to share the power of unity. And, you know, I think a lot of times that is just, I like the ability to share my platform with other people. I like my ability to have these conversations. And to work towards something that is bigger than just my music. And it's a place I get great inspiration and strength from. And my ultimate goal is for anybody who's a part of the Word Wizards Project is to just be able to, you know, grow, learn, exchange, and help cultivate that with one another, a space of that, you know?
So being that you share with a lot of people and stuff, who technically is in the collective? I know it's you. I know it's, we've already talked to Mike Ellis, incredible poet. Yes, who else is in the group?
It's because it is just trademarked as an official idea. It's not necessarily a collective or a group. And the reason, my idea of that was when I first started doing it, there wasn't anyone who was like, I'm going to do it. And it was more like me just going around, interviewing and getting friends and people who I thought were really dope artists who have never had a track, just getting them to record and being able to make music with them. Very on my own, had no idea what I was doing. And so, it was, you know, people would come and go and, you know, I still thought even if you come and go, what was the dope stuff that was learned and created there can still be passed down and can still be there. But you don't have to have this official commitment to, you know, having to do anything more than just you came and made a track one day and it was on one of the mixtapes and that's dope, you know? And so there's no official anything like that. It's very loose. But Cisco has been a big, big pilot of Word Wizards for sure and deserves, you know, that shout out and that love. He's definitely been, he produces a lot of the beats for tracks that we've done. And he's also DJed most of the stuff that I do in general, as well as the Word Wizards events and the graphics. You know, he has, like, so I have this idea, I'll draw it. You know, I'm pretty good at, like, doodling, you know, but it's not, you know, it's not going to look like some nice, high-quality image. So he'll take my doodle, and sometimes it's just a rough doodle, and really, I'll just tell him, I'm like, I see a galaxy, and, like, some hands and this shape and that, and you know, and shout out to Graffiti Blue because the original Word Wizards sign was actually created by him. So Cisco has been able to create those images to life, whether it be the Moon Magic logo or just different things like that. He's super smart, talented individual. Ube has also been a big part of the Word Wizards, Ube Cool. You know, has been a part of the show, some of the shows we did, the show at Ace of Spades, as well as Miguel Moran and Ibrahim. The mixtapes themselves have had, you know, a couple of artists who have continued to be part of the project. So that would include Michael Ellis, the incredible poet M.E., right? As well as Iso the Poet, Jabri. He's been a recurring person. It's definitely, you know, as I've grown, you know, the strength of it grows. And so it's a lot of things still being molded, but that's, you know, that's the idea as a whole. And those are some of the key people. I'm trying to think of anyone else. Half mixtape. We extended the opportunity to a lot of folks in the Bay. I really, you know, hope to strengthen the relationship between what Sac artists are doing here and what the Bay artists are doing. And there's a lot of that same community love and building that they're doing over there.
Right.
So shout out to Versol Music She is an incredible MC artist out there who you definitely should interview as well, as powerful woman MC, as well as Snowy G, and she runs the Club Rotorack of Oakland. It's like a philanthropy charity organization.
Okay.
And so they both are on the latest mixtape of the Word Wizards. But yeah, it's like I said, it's very loose. So we do have a show coming up this Saturday that has all those reoccurring people. Oh, Justice. Justice is also...
So Justice is part of the group. Okay.
Yeah, he calls himself a warlock, not a wizard.
Most definitely.
But he's been a big, you know, supporter. And, you know, as artists, a lot of us have different organizations. Like, you know, Ube has Black Zebra that he's a part of and that he's the executive of. And Cisco has We Need Heroes, which is his record label he's been working on. And so each of us have our own kind of organizations, and we just kind of, you know, understand the power of being able to help one another, you know, and build what we're doing.
So since you brought him up and stuff, Cisco, also called AKA Theater Mutiny, are y'all a group or just more just solo artists that just came together?
Solo artists that came together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we haven't really...
Press the energy, process energy.
Hip-hop stimulators, the peace formulators. We rise like water vapor, the energy generators. Hip-hop stimulators, the peace formulators. We rise like water vapor, the energy generators. Regenerate the...
Yeah, there's more of that to come. More of that to come. I'm going to leave it at that. But we're solo artists that just kind of come together when we can to make dope tracks. We do possibly have some group things unleashed yet, but I don't know how much I could talk about it yet. But we got plans.
I have plans.
Always putting up there in the atmosphere.
Okay. So... I've reading on your blog and also seeing some of the videos and also your persona stuff. I've always wondered if the moon magic is it. You call yourself a witch. Is it more of the Wiccan? Are you mostly the Wiccan personality, a religion, or is it more of an alter ego?
That's a really good question. A little bit of everything, part of it is kind of like an alter ego. It's like a refuge, you know, they talk about the moon being this place of refuge where you can have your emotions and your thoughts and these deep internal things that you think about that can just rest there. And the moon holds it for you, right? And the doing, the just warmth and that different balance, right? The moon magic name in general kind of came by itself, and with it, I learned through the process what it was trying to teach me, and has been this place for me to reclaim and rediscover who I am beyond all of these things that I've been told to believe. And that's been a process. And so it's not necessarily like, I knew at the beginning this is what it was. It's what has been constantly evolving and still does evolve. And so I don't necessarily try to fall into any specific realm of thing like Wiccan or, you know, all these other different types. But I am a studier of, I'm a student. I am a nerd. I'm a hella nerd, y'all. I'm just going to put this out there. I am super nerdy and love learning. So... you know, I'm just constantly trying to learn, and that comes from all different things around me. And I've also grew up around a lot of different ways of living, a lot of different ways of belief systems. And so I kind of have took in from all of it, even things like I was grew up in a Christian home. There's even parts of like the Christian religion that I find can be very beneficial, you know, that they're all just ways of like living a good life with yourself, you know? And so witch is the term I feel I have used to like reclaim that power of being a divine woman, of being a powerful woman. And in not in a way of like, oh, I'm more powerful of you, but just knowing your own power and how much that has been stripped from women in particular, of just not feeling validated in what they feel, or, you know, just a lot of these things we could go on talking about. And I think it also, so my actual government name has the word Mary and Atwood in it. And that's, those names are tied into the Salem witch trials. And so there's a certain affinity I feel towards that part of history and what that what I believe or interpret from those events about women who were kind of tapped into that power and how that made other people feel and how that turned into this situation. So yeah, for me, it's about learning how to reclaim that. And for a lot of people within the witch community, they'll talk a lot about, you know, witch is something that you discover your own magic. You discover what that, you know, what your spells are and what your healing looks like and what your rituals look like. And it's about taking all of these things that we have been told to seek everything outside of ourselves and to then seek it within ourselves instead. And, you know, so I really feel for myself and where I am in life and my particular life in general, that has been a powerful name to take on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I know you've also performed with Spacewalker, and she's very spiritual, and I also saw you hung out with Erykah Badu, and so you guys. So I see that your journey is taking you places where even you're like, wow, look at me now. It's like, so I can dig that. I can dig that. Speaking of you got a degree in political science, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So speaking since you have a degree in political science and stuff, has today's politics kind of made you more aware politically, or?
Yeah. I'm laughing because you know, coming from the community it came from. And, you know, this idea of like, you know, I feel at the time I was like, I was going to be the one to figure out how to fix the system and I could change it within. And like, you know, I had that drive. I was, you know, part of some of the activist organizations in college and then post-college as well. And so, yeah, I was a poli sci major. And I came into college as a vet, learned very quickly. I never wanted to do that. Switched my major like 3 weeks into gender ethnic studies because that was the class we took as an EOP student. And I just remember being like, whoa, there's words for all of this and how validating that felt. And, you know, I wanted to learn more. And so I started with, you know, something that was a little bit more broader and kind of taught why these structures of how much, you know, politics rules a lot of our life, whether we believe it or want to believe it or not. And so I really wanted to understand why and why these structures existed. And don't get me wrong, I think you can, you know, definitely not let it rule your life as much. But there, you know, at the end of the day, there's some things you have to accept that are the way that they are because the system is the way that the system is. And so I was fascinated with that, got into poli sci, and I actually had the opportunity to do an internship and interned in Congress for 3 months. And that was... I can't even, you know, as someone who came from our town, Moreno Valley, to being in D.C., I couldn't even, like, I had panic attacks, couldn't even process a lot of that small town, big, what is going on, you know? And, you know, it was a really amazing internship, really took you through a lot of what was happening in Washington, D.C., a lot of what was happening through Congress. You know, just through the process, I really learned that there's some things that are bigger than what I was willing to invest my time and life in and energy into. And I really believe that the people in Washington, D.C. believe that they're doing the right thing. And that's kind of hypothetically scarier. And I learned through the process that, you know, given my community and where I came from, I think what's her name? AOC.
Okay.
You know, the young congresswoman.
Okay. Yeah.
I want to look it up because I actually want to say her her actual name, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Okay.
She, I think, is an incredible woman within Congress, but she wasn't in office when I was there. And I think just seeing the way things were, and it was during the height of the Donald Trump election, it was the year before, I kind of came out of that hating the whole thing, just not being able to, realizing that that wasn't going to be my path or my purpose or my place. And I have this deep desire within to rebel. And I think, you know, you have to, I couldn't learn to, you know, use my voice and the way that I feel and still do it in the way that is presentable in the right way, if that makes sense. And so I kind of, that's why I did Teach for America, was because I had learned about that experience there, did it, and I kind of came out of college like, what do I do now? Because I did all of that and I'm still here not knowing what I'm supposed to be doing. And then I came back to the thing that I was going to do before I went to college. So it was.
It happens like that. Even I've had those, even I've had those tribal moments.
But to answer your question, it's not what I think about the politics is I think it is very smart what politics is, and to just, you know, I don't participate too much in it, but I definitely pay attention to it. Speak different political stuff within my writing. You can definitely see you know, that part of me in it. And I try my best to stay aware, but also, you know, just stay aware in all fields for sure. But yeah, I don't participate too much in politics anymore.
When you came from the North Southern California up here, you're still in the scene in Southern California. When you came up here, you started becoming part of the scene and stuff. Did you want to start as an MC when you first came in, or were you trying to be more of a poet? I remember your first, one of your poems, Sheet,
right.
That I like very well.
I think that is a multi-layered question, and we're going to dive into it, and I'm going to try my best to speak on it in like a way that comes well and knows that I come in a good way, and I, you know, this has come with a lot of reflection. So for me, being from the community I was in, I have always been very gravitated towards, you know, 70s music, the kind of disco breaks, you know, that were in. That was also a big part of me growing up with my mom. We would listen to that kind of music and be able to dance, even though what we were physically and like the situation we were in, you know, we could dance to the music and still be happy and create this safe space. So when I first heard, you know, that 90s boom bap style hip hop, the underground scene really promotes, and just in general, that era, I heard a lot of those breaks and just fell deeply in love with it from the sound. And then I started listening to a lot of what was actually being said, and I could hear a lot of it being about knowing yourself. That's the common theme I think I hear in a lot of that kind of old school style hip hop music. And it really was a journey I wanted to take for myself. And I didn't, you know, I was a, you know, growing up, I listened to like Missy Elliott, Akon, you know, there was the Ying Yang Twins coming out in hip hop, Lil Wayne, all of that. So I was definitely influenced by those different things, Sierra, Chris Brown. But in my community, as somebody, you know, who looked like me and already being kind of a weird loner kid, I got into a lot of fights in school with my peers whenever I would participate in those things. And I think I struggled for a very long time and still do in many ways with my whiteness and how does that operate within hip hop culture in a way that comes well and does not harm hip hop culture or black culture, but leave something that is worth, you know, that is, you know, giving back and doing it in the right way for someone who looks like me. And what does that look like? And being from my community, that's something I think about and care about and am aware of a lot and don't necessarily know or have learned how to operate within that. And so for me, it had really, I started And I'm also, it goes hand in hand with my trauma and my abuse and those feelings. And so couple them together, it makes it very difficult to operate sometimes. And so for me, I think poetry was a safer place to begin to come out of my shell, to begin to allow myself to heal, to begin and to allow myself to find my voice and my power. And honestly, rhythm and poetry and being there, it opened this portal within myself. I didn't expect myself to get necessarily to where I was, but it all made sense. You know, I was already listening to a lot of hip hop. I was already, you know, something I would think about, but I kind of be like, oh, I don't know, you know. This rapper, his name is Idea. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's from Rhymesayers. Shout out to Rhymesayers. You know, he has this album called Firstborn, and someone had gave it to me in college. And that was the first time that I was like, wait a minute, I really want to do this. I had already was like really into hip hop, you know, going to shows. And then I listened to this album and I was like, whoa, like, I want to do this. How do I do this? And it was like that album just in my particular time of where I was with life hit me in a different way. And seeing someone, you know, who looked like me doing it, I think like Eminem for me growing up was somebody who kind of was off-putting. Not to shit on Eminem, you know, all respect to him. I know he's like looked up to a lot, but personally for me, his violent behavior and his lyrics was really triggering due to that was kind of like the reality of my home situation. So I didn't find anything, like I found it was off-putting. So it was just hard to listen to it. And, you know, seeing other representations of what that looked like was very important to me. And you know, people who also pay homage and respect to the culture, I think is very important when they're, you know, operating within it as well. And so that's been a process, just like finding those people who are doing that, trying to figure out what that means for me, being honest and being true to myself. You know, so I think it, and even just my own personal development throughout that experience has kind of metamorphosis. That's why this whole quarantine butterfly is kind of like where the theme of it came from. And so, yeah, it just kind of started, and then it was something that I always knew was the right fit, but I was always too scared to be able to accept or embody or want to do that work, or, you know, still don't know altogether what that work. But we're here, and I'm very, very grateful for everything that hip hop has taught me.
Even though you tell you as you're pursuing it and so trying to find your spin stuff, you've met a lot of people. I mean, you met J. Rod Perelli. I mean, it was also another.
Yeah.
White girls in the hip hop scene.
Mm-hmm.
You've met a few other people and stuff in your journey. So
yeah. And shout out to J Ross, because that definitely, like, meeting her and being tapped into her. There's this other girl, Lily Fangs. There's this other girl, Blimes Brixton. So they're all several women who look like me who are doing this. They just don't necessarily have, like, you know, the Kesha. And Kesha, you know, when Kesha came, there's a lot of things that happened with Kesha that was not, you know, and so, and even just her style is not necessary, you know what I mean? Like, there's lots of different styles, and so having lots of different representations of that and, you know, doing their best to do those things was important. And yes, J. Ross definitely is one of those people, for sure, and there are representations of that. It was just harder for me to find and, you know, had to kind of navigate, and that's why it kind of was like this, you're watching me learn as I go. That's been one of the most interesting things about my most painful things about my artistic journey, is like, it's been literally like people watching me shed these layers and step into who I am becoming right in front of y'all's eyes. So that's very so people like you, Sharon, who have been you know, who have known me for a large part of that journey, have really gotten to see that process, and I really value that. You know,
I appreciate even you fully when I even let y'all, even let the Word Wizards come over to Sacramento Poetry and do a show and stuff. Just a full presentation. You, Cisco, Berto, Umbe Cool and also Donna Cat when y'all came up and did the show.
Yeah, shout out to Birdo. I didn't mention him earlier, but he was part of that Ace of Spades show, and he stepped up and DJed that show and is just a phenomenal graphic artist, dope, dope person as well. Everyone should be plugged in, too.
Definitely. But no, so I'm hearing that there's another show, that y'all having a show coming out, as you pointed out. There's a show coming out this Saturday, the 18th. So what's that show going to be more about? I see it's on Instagram. So how has Instagram Live been for you?
That's an interesting experience, because I can be very introverted, but then I can also be very extroverted. And as an artist, you know, as a performer, sometimes you have to be extroverted. You need to perform. But there are also times where I'm very like to myself. And so Instagram Live is awesome, because it gives you that option to kind of choose when you want to do that in that way, if you're feeling, you know, extroverted. But it also can be, you know, it takes it into a whole different realm. You know, you can't really feel people's energy. So there's that aspect of it. And so it's been, I kind of am back and forth with it. There's some things I think are really awesome about it. There are some things I think are really interesting, but I feel like regardless of how you feel, it is there. It is the future. It is the current. And, you know, as artists, we have to adapt with the times. And then I've seen some really awesome things happening on there. Like, you know, I can be feeling low and then just turn on my IG and like Ciroc is over there, you know, hosting this DJ Soul Messiah party, like the premiere versus RZA. Like that thing was wild and so inspiring. And just like, you know, a lot of that is like that old school, just like, oh, my whole soul, just like, you know, and that's the kind of stuff that has been really awesome during this time, is more like being able to see the lives of people who really inspire me. Because I'm going through a lot of internal things through this process for myself. So I haven't necessarily been getting on it as much. But I think it's a dope tool. And just people to be mindful that it's a tool and not get, you know, if you feel like it's too much, take a step back and, you know, you ready, you ready.
Because I know you've been, your whole Quarantine Butterfly series has mostly been a lot of the freestyles and rhymes have been put on there. And I see that you're also putting those into your SoundCloud page and stuff. And when I was looking on your SoundCloud, I see that you have like four albums, like EPs and full albums on there and stuff. How do you feel about now having so many albums out on SoundCloud stuff, and then with also the Word Wizards, is there more being driven on the occasion of I need to get a track out, I need to get a record out, or is it more I'm taking my time, let me see how many songs I can put in this one little series and then put them together into an album and then pop it off?
I think there's certain songs and certain tracks that I try to put more of that time in. I think because of where I am with a lot of things, it doesn't always work that way. You know, there's a lot of things you have to have in place to publish music in an official way. Whether it be like, you know, having your BMI account or, you know, having a beat that you own, that's a big part of it. And inspiration for me, unfortunately, doesn't always work that way. A lot of, like I said, a lot of me having to just be true to myself and like, you know, what I'm doing this for and filling myself up. And that may not always be like the best professional business option. You know, it might be better to, you know, really save those rhymes and, you know, craft them for this beat that I finally get from the right producer and, you know, get it in. And that's my song, and that's going to, you know, and that's, you know, smart. I'm not saying, for me, it's a lot of just like me needing to just get it out. This is really, really is more about my own journey of like loving myself and personal evolution. And if people vibe with it, they vibe with it. And if they don't, that's okay. It's not for you. And that's, I don't take, you know, keep scrolling. It's fine. And some of my official stuff that is online that I took a lot of time for, I don't necessarily like as much too, because I'm a super perfectionist and overly critical about a lot of things. So I'll be like analyzing it 100 times. And then by the time I post it, you know, I've heard from a lot of artists that like that dope sound in your voice that you made that you thought was really ugly was actually like the cool part of the track, you know? And when you're by yourself and you're analyzing, I think that's part of why I like the Word Wizard stuff, is it's time to just like get out of my head and just like kick it with my homies and get inspired and soak up the vibes and get out good vibes and just, you know, so we can continue doing what we do, you know? And so I do have some official stuff coming out. I have a new track called Remedy, which kind of goes into a lot of these things about mental health and personal evolution and development. And that's an official track. It's done by Prod J. Be dropping on 420.
Nice. And you already had one track with Man's Pants.
I got man's pants, doing handstands in my closet, ain't nobody gonna stop it. Need bigger pockets for my wallet, don't stand a chance, tryna fuck me up toxic. This be God's plans, this be God's plans, this be God's plans, alchemized by the all high. You ain't fucking with my vibe, you ain't fucking with my vibe, I fly.
That you put out too, so
as well. Mm-hmm.
Right, so
as I go through the process, you know, I'm also learning how to navigate. There's not a lot of, unless it depends on, you know, for most artists, independent artists who are into the music realm, you have to find your blueprint, and you know what I mean, put in the work, and it's a learn by doing and error and process and trial. And unless you have, you know, you keep, some people, you know, just wait and like, you know, develop their skill till they meet the right people to like, you know, there's all different ways. But what I'm doing is just learn by doing and, you know, fail by doing and take the losses for what they are and come back twice as hard. And, you know, I love this stuff and there's nothing else in the world I'd be doing. So even if I take the bad and the good and just keep moving.
There you go. I mean, I can't explain that. That's actually better than whatever. But so here's one of the questions I always bring up to every person, every guest. So in the literary world, they basically have people who write poems on paper, and then they call them the literary poets or page poets. And then you got the people that perform the poems, do the things performer-wise. They're called the stage poets. Mm-hmm. So we always got a big thing where it's always page versus the stage. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you, Moon Magic, what do you feel comfortable in? The page, stage, or both?
What do you think I'm gonna say?
I think stage, but you may say some opposite. I'm gonna let you say it.
Yeah, stage. And you know, I definitely also shout out to all my poetry folks, all my poetry fam, shout out to Rhythm and Poetry, shout out to Keynote Poets. I still love poetry. I still will write poetry, and it's not meant to be on a beat. I think rhythm and poetry, rap is inseparable from poetry. That's, you know, it's just poetry with beats. So I just want to put that out there. But yeah, I would definitely choose the stage. I think there's something about performance, that I step into this. It's like stepping into a character, stepping into a realm, and it's a euphoria or just like a release, or it's therapy. Rap is therapy. It's that experience of being able to connect with other people and share your truths and, you know, choose how to express it with all of your body. But, you know, I think all of those things are important. There's a certain euphoria you get when you're writing it, you know, that first feeling of that spark and all of that good stuff. But I definitely think I'm a stage person and love when I'm able to find that happy space where I'm no longer thinking about all these other things externally, and I'm just in the moment, you know?
Okay. Yeah. So why don't we just, this is a new question I'm asking since I got a lot of rappers coming up and stuff. And I know it's the old current question everybody's always asked a rapper. What's your top five rappers?
Does that have to be all rappers?
Okay, rapper, singer, per se. Because I know Erykah Badu is technically a singer, but she claims I'm a rapper, so.
Yeah, you know Erykah Badu is like top. And you know, I also just want to say my list has a lot to do with their personal, how they have helped my development or how they have influenced me or, you know, just who they are as a person and their music. I know some people are like just bars, you know, just, you know, for me, it's kind of like a whole package deal of like this person I've resonated with. So I would say top is definitely Erykah Badu. And I think in general, like not only, I mean, she's not a rapper really, but she did rap. She started rapping and you can find some of that old school footage and she's still dope. Her singing voice is amazing. And just her way of life and perspective on life and how she feels about being an artist. I feel like I really resonate with and, you know, appreciate when she does her thing. It inspires me deeply. So I just, yeah, number one. Number two. Oh, okay. Maybe it won't be in number order because this is hard. I want to say between Ciroc and Oshun. And you know, I don't think I want to rank it, but Ciroc is, she's a dope MC. I think her, in terms of her bars, her content, again, who she is as a person, she is just extremely inspires me. She just did a Black Woman Made This tour with Rhapsody. Think of them on stage, like you're talking about powerful women MCs, like, whoo, that was a power night. And anyone who doesn't know who Ciroc is, it's S-A-Rock, R-O-C. Definitely should look them up. They are signed to the Rhymesayers label. And they're just, yeah, phenomenal. Oshun is, they're kind of like a neo-soul, futuristic type of group that is founded by two women from NYU, I believe that's where they went. And they make this duo group. And they kind of remind me like if Jill Scott and, or like if Lauryn Hill and Erykah Badu had daughters who had a dope futuristic, like, awesome group, that would be them. And so a lot of their music has that energy and that, you know, it's modern yet kind of familiar as well, which is really cool. And just the healing and, that they represent. So that would be like top, who else? Blinds Brixton, I really love her. She's a part of a group called Gift Bag, it's Blinds, and Gifted Gab is the other artist. You know, they're both women from who are kind of on the rise as well, who just got signed to, I believe, Sony Records. And they, you know, Blinds has a collaboration track with Method Man, and she used to battle rap, and she's got bars, and just a dope persona, person, aura. Let me do one more from the old one. Let me think. Hold on. Old school, all time. I feel like Guru, like that's what's coming at the top of my head right now. KRS-One. This is really hard. I can't limit it.
You're five.
All the same plan. I've been really, really diving deep into RZA's, because he's like meditations. Not only does he have dope music and, you know, founder of the Wu-Tang Clan, but he has these dope meditations. But yeah, that's a hard question. Those are definitely some of my biggest influences. Let me think. Gavlin, Reverie, they're dope. Women coming up, rising, been doing it. Tour around Europe. Ruby Ibarra, Bamboo, he's from the LA scene. Rocky Rivera.
Yeah.
Living Legends.
Well, definitely.
Nas, you know, Biggie, Tupac, all the classics.
Must have been cool of meeting MERS when you...
MERS, yeah, that was... Because being from, you know, getting really, like, going to school in Pomona and that being, like, the start of me really... Because, you know, Mobile doesn't have an underground hip-hop scene like L.A. or you know, there's some, I don't even know if we really have places out there like that to do things like that.
Riverside more often than
yeah, Riverside. But you know, as a kid, I didn't really have the ability to drive, like even to Riverside was far, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, being able to be submerged in that, like, you know, Sick Jacket, yeah, all of that was Living Legends, Meeting Mirrors, and the Grouch as well was definitely part of my bucket list. Definitely been a huge inspiration. Mirrors is also a Pisces, so.
There you go.
But yeah, I have a lot of influences. That's really hard. It's kind of like a wave. I'll be on a wave, and then, you know, I won't listen to that artist maybe for a couple of years. But then there's certain artists, like those artists I can say are people who I've always kind of came back to, you know, Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul, you know.
So speaking of which, so you, like you said, you doodle and stuff. I've also seen that you've been giving out your art to like artists and everything. So you also paint and also draw and stuff. Also.
Yes. That's I think that's why, like I say, Erykah Badu is one of my biggest influences. She talks a lot about being an artist, and you know, I love emceeing. I'm always, you know, all of those things. I don't think you can separate any of it. You know, I see life as art, you know, and that's one of these quotes that Idea has. He says, all that is art. And I feel like that's the way I look at a lot of these things, that, you know, the conditions of things that I didn't really like, and then being in spaces where I saw a lot of people transform that into art, whether it be like these little pop-up art events that people were doing in college, or the like Art Street event here in Sacramento. And it incorporated everything. It's like even hip-hop. Hip-hop is all these different elements. It's not just emceeing. It's the graffiti writers. That's art. That's like painting, you know, in its own way. The you know, the breaking, you know, all of those things. And so, yeah, I do whatever my heart is telling me at the moment. And sometimes my brain, a lot of times, even like right now, I'm going through a downloading period. So I don't always feel like my words work when I want them to, how I want them to. And I know as an MC, that's not always the best. But, you know, that's when I really dive into the other elements. Like, you know, I have my own beat machine I've had for about almost 3 years now. And it took me like 2 years just to learn how to use the software, you know. And now I'm at the stage where, huh?
What beat machine you got?
I got the Launch Key 25. It's pretty nice. Got the little set of drums on the top and the keys on the bottom.
I've never seen one.
It came with the program Ableton, okay. Which a lot of people will say Ableton's one of the hardest programs to learn.
I got Ableton.
You do? What? How have we not had this conversation? We probably have, and I just haven't. I'm also like, I'm stubborn. I'll be like, I'm going to figure it out on my own. I would love to do some sessions sometime, because man, I got all this basics, which has been nice, but there are definitely like techniques or different things that I'm sure could help make the process easier. I just get frustrated with it because my computer is slow and it'll unplug and just wipe everything I did. And I'll just be like, fuck you. I just worked so hard on this. I'm done.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, like I'm very it's kind of like a movement. Like I go in and out, like, and whenever I'm not still in that time of writing, I try to use that time to like soak up the other arts, whether it's like just listening to like, you know, some guru and Premiere, and you know, doing an art piece, you know, like that RZA and Premiere live really inspired me, because I haven't been feeling, you know, necessarily all the time like in writing mode. And so I'll just soak it up, and like it'll come out in different ways. Sometimes I do dance videos, even. You know,
I ain't gonna lie, you trip me out when you're doing the man's pants videos and you're upside down. So I'm like, what is she doing? She's like, I'm going off.
Get people's attention, you know. And you know, artists that I see, you know, MCs that, you know, unless you have a label like that, who can really. You know, you only got to worry about the writing, and that's not, you know, the case is you usually got to be the graphic designer and the, you know, I'm learning how to graphic design right now. You got to kind of be a jack of all trades so you can just, you know, get yourself along, or you're going to end up paying a lot of money out of pocket, which is not possible for everyone. And so I'm just constantly trying to learn. And I got a painting right here. This is one of my favorite ones.
That's sweet. Nice. Nice.
Inspired by Rocky Rivera's album.
Okay. That's what's up. But coming down, we're getting close to the ending stuff. Why don't you give people your social media and your website?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for y'all listening to my weird self. Weird, magical, unicorn, witch, playing all the good vibes and spell casting self. just thank y'all to everybody who's been part of my journey. If you want to hear more about my journey, plug into my music, plug into my socials. It's Moon Magic Flows. That is my Instagram handle. MoonMagicFlows.com is my website. And you can find all my music under Moon Magic on all platforms. And Moon Magic Flows, also my SoundCloud.
There you go, people. Moon Magic herself. The princess is here. The witch herself is basically doing her casting. But nah.
Yeah, why are you coming at me? You know, I may play nice. I may play a big kid, but you don't know what I'm cooking up back here.
You don't know what she's cooking. She might be doing some Jabronis type stuff. It might be the new rock. But no, thank you, Me Magic, for coming out and stuff. And yeah, I'm going to put all that stuff in the links below. And for everyone else there, please come back for more information. We're going to this whole theme. We're going out for all female rappers. So check it out. Be here. We're going to bring more out. Peace.
Hello.
For more information, please go to linktr.ee/iambiczine. IAMBICZINE. Thank you.